here's a couple of great shows, okay? We got the movie The Blob. And what was the band? The Blue Cheer, that power band?
Yeah.
You know, huge power band, insane, you know? And The Blob, the movie The Blob. And we'd have the band, what would we do? Movie, band, movie? Something like that. We had 35 projectors and 16 projectors and had a big screen. And that was a fantastic show, The Blob with Blue Cheer. And then the greatest show of all was Big Brother. And credit must be given to Mr. Owsley, Stanley, who donated a PA system to us out of the goodness of his heart. Well, you know, we had to glue pieces together to make it work because we were poor, frankly.
Yeah. You better not say that because no one knew that Owsley gave the straight a PA.
Oh, well, he took it back. But that show, when Big Brother came back, it's the hottest I ever heard of him. And the bill was just filled with people. The Congress of Wonders was on. The place was packed. People were running around handing out White Lightning and Heavenly Blues, man. Everybody was wiped on acid and in a very good place. And that show blew my mind more than any rock and roll concert I've ever been to.
Here it is, folks, that terrible drug LSD.
It's revolution. With the Quicksilver Messenger Service, Country Joe, Steve Miller, the Anonymous Artists of America, Dan Hicks, and the Ace of Cups. Open September 25th at the Straight Theater on Haight Street and the Clay Theater on Fillmore.
So I think if one denies themselves that particular adventure of consciousness in the 20th century, you're simply a fool.
Revolution. Life is love and it's here.
Another story. A movie called Revolution that we had a part in sort of producing. It wasn't a very hot picture, but for its opening, it opened at the Straight Theater, and the party for it was incredible. It was quite an event.
Yeah, we had a huge fight with the union with that because you couldn't release a feature in a non-union house because it had a bug on it in those days.
Now do you see, folks, all the hassles we went through running that place? And we were doing it out of the goodness of our hearts, man. We could have been out doing other things, you know.
People all joining hands in love, sharing joys they've dreamed of. My name is Lieutenant Kevin Arcaro from Park Station. And I would like to talk about the police problems that we had at the Strait Theater. Strait Theater was in our precinct on Haight Street at the corner of Schrader. Or was it Cole? We had various problems there with drugs, other abuses, urination in the outside and inside both. And some of the people who hung out there were in pretty bad shape, different drug dealers, pushers that were there at the time. I remember one night I was walking my beat along with a cadet right out of the police academy, and we ran into some suspects who ran out of Strait Theater carrying fire extinguishers, yelling that there was a fire on inside, and they were going to the going down to a local restaurant.
From the bubbling depths of Scorpio's dark continent, the sound of gathering energy for the Strait Theater Scorpio Stomp.
A dance and concert starring the Quicksilver Messenger Service and John Fahey Friday and Saturday, November 17th and 18th at 9 p.m. And Sunday the 19th, in concert, John Fahey at the Strait Theater, Haight at Cole, and both happenings only $2.50.
The Strait Theater, Brent Dangerfield on vocals there.
Whenever the Grateful Dead appear anywhere, it's always an event. And Neil Cassidy and I kind of hit it off, and I had a little sound room that I did my operations from. He sat in there, rapping away, carrying on three conversations simultaneously. He fascinated me. He really did. Amazing mind. Because, like, there'd be three or four people sitting at this long desk, you know, and the band would hang out because the vibes were cool, and, you know, I was mixing at a relatively low level so it wasn't deafening, and, you know, it was fun. We all had fun. We hung out. And Neil was there, going 1,000 miles an hour, you know, really going fast, man, covering a lot of conversations coherently, you know. And he said, you know, the dead really need me on stage.
Bob Callow, an emergency.
So Neil went running up on stage and laid out a rap that maybe one-tenth of the audience could catch. And took off his shirt. The dead were trying to get him off the stage. It was a mind-blowing trip.
Neil Cassidy. Neil Cassidy. Give that man a microphone.
The beef. Four fingers, you know, or I forgot. That's just enough, see? Try to play, you see? It's a claw on me, 3 inches. A little bigger than. And I said, of course, to the Metro as they. But it hides my thumb and also reveals my Greek torso. Well, 49th, I said, Spence. Hadn't seen him since 51st. He said, move to 49th. Nope, move to 51st. But get hindsight. The waiter in 56 beat the 6 seats he had. Seed law and marijuana. The only writing I ever did, the laudatory. And on marijuana. Ooh, I was saying in the. You all right in there on the wall, Mr. Cassidy? Because I was having his insights, you see. I only got 20 years on you. I knew I should have worn more paisley. Oh, I double-crossed him. No, the son of the man is about to mount the podium. Grimsby was impressed in the short drive. I said, I'm serious about America. DeMarco, Greg, at the last year, you know, we arrived just in time. Sick. 2-4-4-4. Las Vegas, 49. No. Feel the movie. Finally at the end, she confesses. Phoenix, Arizona, 1949. Out of the air, she's Phoenix. I want the... Double Parker and Winnemucca, speed her endurance. 6 days it was. Finally, she grabbed the, of course, Vicks Vapor Rub instead of the Vaseline. It was that was what ended it. My first child, 42 then, Charlie Valencia, on Temple, where we had an acid test. But 1350, his father, half Mexican, half Irish, like Anthony Quinn. So he loved her, you know. There was a triumph of us. The only three we ever had. Kerouac's not queer, but my present wife, the fourth, and he. It was just a New Year's Eve sort of a... We was always looking for a colored girl, Carol Astey. Finally found her, Bedford-Stuyvesant, and that was the last time I committed suicide. I knew toward the Ford sign across the Hudson. Get across this long Missouri, that preacher said Van Hevelin, or I didn't see it. Move on. And then, never use what either, says Ken. Rocket, please, mean drum. Speed on piano, give me some. Speed, speed, sir, speed limit. Five straight. I said, how dare he? I don't know him, you know. Big thing I do. He went nuts. Either in or either out. And the acid test in San Jose. On the stairway, cash unloaded, you know. I'll solve it, boss. Big nig. My brothers went out to kill him. Small dome, they fought the Degos, too, in North Denver. The east is meek, poor white trash, you see. Lower east. Black and all heart and cock, the Mexican, but it's true. And more. Italians in North Denver, the only guys ever jealous of. At 15, he opened his camel pack, you know. Further. The menopausal. Don't ask me how. 20 years, I held 10 on the railroad and 10 more for... And I'll be dead 1,000 years, see, so... If I don't do it right now... Right in it. Rep Barker, the same acid test then. Used to be Al Collins, all fat and sassy, you know. But he was all skinny and dressed in. You can work yourself into anything. How do you get out of it? 6 days, 6 glasses a day. Pretty soon your system demands it. 1,000 days, Aurobindo says you've had it. Old Joe, alcoholic, you know, we used to drink together, but he went drinking. Enjoys, but
what was your personal high as far as the show went, aside from opening night?
In this place?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy.
Which one?
That was the time that the police carted me away for presiding over a nude rock and roll dance.
Really?
Yeah. Johnson and McHenry were the two cops who used to come by the theater and make their routine check to see that everything was in order, and I kind of struck up a friendship with them, and they were on duty the night with the new dance in, and they came by earlier in the evening, and it was the usual straight theater scene with the womb playing and people laid out or people dancing and the straight lightning blurbing away, and so everything was okay, and then Allman Joy came on, and about halfway through their set started to take off their clothes. I played on one song, harmonica, and I had my clothes off. They all had their clothes off. The audience was having a ball, and everyone was frolicking without their clothes on. I noticed that the police were there as the set ended, and I left the stage hurriedly. I had dressed, and I walked up the aisle, and I got to the doors, and they accosted me in the lobby and said, you're going to have to come with us. They took me in. And one other guy, a patron of the theater, who happened to be a school teacher from Carmichael, just a plain, ordinary citizen who happened in the straight theater and saw these marvelous goings-on and got into the swing of things.
Right.
And he said to the police, he said, I thought this is what goes on here all the time.
You remember when Kenneth Anger came back looking for his lost film, Lucifer Rising, because he thought Bobby Snowfox had hidden it in the straight theater?
Yeah.
And he came in right in the middle of Larry Bishop and Rob Reiner's performance when they were appearing for the first time in public as The Session.
That part I forgot.
And they were in the wings crying because the audience was just looking at them.
They
weren't laughing. They weren't getting the right response, and so they all broke down and started
I remember
crying.
The show. Yeah.
Oh,
boy, this is bad, man.
Oh,
this is
let's get out of here. This is goddamn San Francisco.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, no. Man. I don't think
the hell's the matter with you?
Meanwhile, Kenneth shows up and puts a hex in the middle of the floor again for the second time and is tearing through closets. So.
You know, then there's 10,000 stories like that.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to Magical Mystery Tour.
When a man buys a ticket for a Magical Mystery Tour, he knows what to expect. We guarantee him the trip of a lifetime, and that's just what he gets. The Incredible Magical Mystery Tour.
Magical Mystery Tour was filmed, what, to raise money for the people that run
you came,
Strike,
you
strike
came
from KMPX.
Did you bring the film up from L.A., or...?
I may have.
Yes, you flew it in.
I flew it in.
Tom was in Los Angeles, and he had the film. You flew down, got the film.
You got it from Derek
flew
Taylor.
Back in.
Yeah.
Derek Taylor.
Right.
Yeah.
Passed it to Tom, and Tom passed it to me. And I climbed on the plane and brought it up.
And there were 5,000 people waiting outside the Straight Theater for you to arrive.
The plane was late.
Yeah. The plane was late. And there's 5,000 people jumping up and down.
We were in the third showing of that motorcycle movie with the in slow motion with the music in the background, which is a beautiful film.
What to say?
It was the first time the Straight Theater had ever seen a crowd over 1,500. And people from KMPX and the Straight Theater were going up and down the line selling advance tickets just to make sure they hung around to see the movie. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, here comes Mylon with a movie.
It was 3 o'clock in the morning,
and,
too.
Everyone enjoyed the film. It was the first showing in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Or something like that.
Didn't we try to make up and show it again after that or something?
We showed it for 24 hours.
24 hours straight.
Rewind time filled with short subjects.
And it set the house record for the 8th Theater.
When Herb Cain was there and all those hoity-toities,
yeah.
What was that
was,
all about?
I rented the theater to some civic proposition that was on the ballot and had a catered affair for, you know, some of the finer-livered gentry in town, you know.
Livered. It was incredible.
It
there were all
was,
hoity-toities
it was
from Pacific Heights were in there celebrating a benefit. We had Richie Havens playing.
They were burning garbage cans in the
and
street.
Meanwhile,
front.
Outside the doors were locked. There was a riot going on where people were burning the newsstands, the garbage cans, and breaking bottles
right.
in the street.
It was for Proposition P.
Yeah, and the people right. from Pacific Heights were inside, you know, oh yes, did you see so-and-so at Pebble Beach?
Say, isn't that a garbage can burning over there on the corner?
No,
I'm not
no
sure. Lend me
it.
Your field glasses for a minute.
No one noticed it.
Important bands that came and played at that point, it was benefits.
Well, most of the important bands played as benefits. You talk about people doing things for us. That was the, like, Big Brother helped us out by doing benefits, for example. Right.
And, that was when Julius Carpenter was running the band. And,
oh, Julius didn't want anyone recording Janis. Julius didn't know he was going to be fired in 3 weeks either. He didn't want any recording Janis, so he was actually doing physical damage to Brent Dangerfield. Now, Brent wouldn't hurt anybody. But he was
just beating Brent up.
He had his hands on Brent because Brent was seen near a tape recorder in the Straight Theater
Julius
when Janis
could
was
get
appearing.
Pretty worked up, yeah.
So we calmed down Brent and calmed down Julius and immediately got Brent to record all of Janis' stuff.
Right. And, so what happened to the recordings?
The recordings are still around, but unfortunately she blew up all the microphones within 2 minutes of starting, and so the recordings are all distorted.
What down on me? Oh, down on me.
too stoned, one or the other. First thing we want to really do is congratulate all the people that made this theater possible. They're working for about a year, man. These cats need a hand. Yeah. Bill Reznor and Hillel Reznor and Gene Williams and Ken Goldfinger and all these people, man. You'll dig them on the streets. And Charlie and all these people who helped like build us some hands for about a year.
This next song was also written by Sam. It's about the dance hall sort of scene. Isn't it? I can't hear the words so good up here.
I never thought being commercial was bad or wrong anyway. Right. In fact, not that, you know, you can get carried away with how desirable it is. And chasing down your John Denver thing, where you drink a glass of milk and you turn it into a commercial. I mean, everything you do is you live a commercial, right?
Right.
But I mean, short of that, somewhere you can have I think, aesthetically pleasing career without feeling like you've sold your soul to whoever it is. Geez, you hear about so and so, and haven't heard of them before. This album, it's say right there. This album cost $50,000 to make, and since we could never have it anyway, I was really envious of that. Power and money that just local jerkles were getting all this money, right? So I went the opposite way. I said, well, I'm going to prove to him he can make records for next to nothing compared to that. I didn't dig the imagery of a starving artist in the attic. I've always thought that was kind of silly. If you're going to create something, isn't it really human and normal to want somebody to see it? I'm also one of those people that enjoys the end result, but I don't enjoy the process. If I was a cook, I would hate half. I'd love to eat it all, but I'd hate having to make it. It's just, that's the same way with music for me. I just go through agony, really, trying to get it together. I know it'll be right, and I like it when it's done. Then I'm tired of it already. But doing it is a real pain in the rear end for me. When you're really happening, it's you're high. You're just right. And the very first time we played the Fillmore, as opposed to the smaller places or whatever, I think we were second billing, and I think it was Steppenwolf, but I'm not sure. Anyway, we got a standing ovation, and this, I mean, that probably to this day means more to me than anything else, because like I keep saying, I felt like we were outsiders. We were hillbillies coming in to play the Fillmore in San Francisco. Why'd
you pick on poor Lodi?
Because Hamburg or Merced or right. Turlock just right. didn't fit. Or right. Modesto.
A little two-syllable word.
Yeah. Lodi, obviously, I think you knew, was I picked that name up when I was 9 or 10 and always just thought that'd be a neat name to have a song after. a lot of people, promoters, really take advantage of you when you're right at that level where you're maybe going to be national, but will still eke a lot of bucks out of them, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, he never did that. I thoroughly enjoyed the character of Bill Graham, booking agent or promoter, because he was putting on a different hat than his real nature, and so was I. I mean, I saw an old army flick once where the colonel has to tell the new young major or whatever, well, you got to pretend you're somebody else, then you can give those uncomfortable orders, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I had to do when I was, I'd put on the manager hat and go in and be a tough, what you call it? Bill was being the tough promoter, the boxing guy with a cigar in his mouth, and he's, but it wasn't real. It was a good game. Also, like the stories I'd hear about certain people he'd kind of rub on or put down or whatever. From what I could tell, they deserved it. They come strutting into the Fillmore thinking they were God's answer to the, you know, we want this such and such refreshments. We want pink carpets. And I kind of, he'd just go, no, I've never been psychedelicized anyway. I didn't feel it was necessary to be like that.
Right.
I still don't. It's a nice diversion. I mean, smoking dope or something, that's about as far as I could relate to. But I had somebody come up to me, like the second time we played at Fillmore, said, wow, man, I could tell after your album that you dropped a lot of acid. I could just tell, man, because the things you're into, and I crushed him. I said, I've never taken any acid at all. There'll be it won't make it. Did nobody remember how it goes? Nostalgia? Wow. I mean, I just...
And how fast
it
goes.
I didn't realize that was already nostalgia. I thought all the people were still doing that.
Scenes from concerts. You will not see them, but you will definitely hear. It's a Beautiful Day will be first up with an unreleased... Oh, this is in the studio. Well, it's still a concert for the engineer. White Bird, a studio version unreleased and... probably will never be released, actually, but you'll hear it in just a moment. Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks, recorded at the New Orleans house about 4 years ago, with three songs you will instantly recognize. Then we go to Santana at the Straight Theater for two songs, including Jingo. And finally, we will have Steve Miller at the Avalon, sandwiched over an unreleased studio track called Daddy's Heartbeat. That's coming up right now.
White bird,
Goes nowhere too, but you know. Second. Thank you.
I won't scare Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much. And we're going to do a tune here that is just about like the other one we just finished, except that it's a little different, copyright 1968. And it's got Marianne once again there doing some scatting. And Naomi, of course, brings up the rear. And Sid does a real nice job. And Jamie's got our little bass lick in here. This is called I Feel Like Singing. Love that's where I'm at. Love that makes me scat. Here we go. There are people who live for the moment.
The moment.
The moment.
The moment.
And others who don't seem to get much enjoyment.
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 Some are always glad. It's a funny feeling.
Love is what I need. Yes, I'm so in love. Can't tell down from above. Down, down, down from up above.
I feel like singing. I feel like singing. Thank you.
Walker with a band, where the band was on the stand playing live music. The move she made on me that night, I did not have a chance to wear that music, made me dance. It was some live music, live music. It ain't
can music, playing on the radio. Can music without a dime a dozen go. Favorites on the jukebox.
Thank you, Dan Hicks, at the New Orleans House, recorded in March of 1971. Before that, White Bird by It's a Beautiful Day, there's a connection between the two groups, a couple of connections, in fact. David LaFlame of Beautiful Day was Dan Hicks' first violin player, first fiddler, with the first version of Hot Licks before the women joined in. And Jamie Leopold was also in orchestra with David LaFlame before joining up on Bull Fiddle, Reed Bass with Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks. Next up, Santana.
The Easy Wider Rolling Paper Company makes a great scientific breakthrough. After man has been on this planet for 1.5 million years, the Easy Wider Company has discovered that if they don't cut a piece of rolling paper in half, you don't have to stick the two pieces back together again. Until this discovery, all other rolling paper companies were cutting their product into little pieces, which the consumer would then take home and glue back together into bigger pieces. Then Easy Wider came along and changed all this by leaving a double-width piece of paper, a double-width piece of paper. Nice going, Easy Wider. In addition, the Easy Wider company was also the discoverer of the fact that if they put the best paper into their packs, you'll take the best paper out of their packs. These discoveries are the reasons why you, America, will be going out and buying the brown and white pack that says Easy Wider, Easy Wider, Easy Wider.
Whatever you say, it's 5 past 5 KSAN in San Francisco. And what was that? We're in a musical portion, going to Santana now, recorded live at the Strait Theater.